All right, good evening. Good to see you guys out this evening. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 11. And we start a new series. We're moving from spiritual warfare. And the transition goes really well because the last weapon of our warfare in our study was prayer. And then so if you're wondering why I want to start a study on prayer, that stirred my heart. That made me think in my mind, I need to pray more. My prayer life is inadequate. So as I got to that last weapon of our warfare, the prayer, I said, okay, let's do a study on prayer. And then maybe not for you, but mainly for me. My prayer life needs to be better. And I said it Sunday, if I ask you tonight, how many of you guys think your prayer life needs to be better? I would think everybody in here would raise their hands and say, that's me. So I want to help you with that. I want to teach you how to pray. But I don't want to be the one to teach you how to pray. I want to learn from Christ. So our prayer over the next, it'll probably be 7, 8, 9 weeks that we'll learn this. And our prayer, and I want you guys to write this down because it'll be the title of the sermon tonight, is that when we come together on Wednesday nights, when you listen to it online, if you get that chance, that we say, Lord, teach us to pray. Yes. That's what we want. So the very first sermon I want to preach tonight is teach us to pray. And we're going to look at one verse out of Luke chapter 11, verse 1, and spend all of our time there. We want to learn to pray the way Jesus prayed. So we're going to ask this question tonight. Lord, teach us to pray. So starting there in verse 1 and ending. Let me read the whole thing down to verse 4. But let's start with verse 1. Our eye will be on verse 1. We'll spend all night tonight on one verse. And it says, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples, we don't know who it was, but I believe this disciple asked one of the best questions that could ever be asked. Because it led to the next thing we hear. His request is, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We'll be studying the Matthew 6 passage as we go through this, but I want to start here in Luke 11 with that question or that desire that I hope is in every one of our hearts tonight. Lord, teach us to pray. So let's pray together and we'll study this verse. Father, I thank you for passages in the Bible like this. I'm going to say it tonight that praying doesn't come naturally. It's not something that we are born with. It's not a gift that we have. There's no spiritual gift of praying. It's something that we're all told to do, commanded to do. And it's something that we must learn to do. And God, I think there's a lot of people, including myself, who feel inadequate in praying. That our prayers are insufficient. It's not good enough. It needs to be better. So God, I ask, and I hope that everybody around this room tonight would be in agreement with me, that starting tonight, over the next few weeks, Lord, teach us to pray. Starting here right now. And if our prayer life is great, may it go to the next level and be even better. If our prayer life is bad, may it be good. May we all grow in our prayer life over the next few weeks. May our church grow in its praying over the next few weeks. Lord, teach us to pray. And we ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a poll taken at a large Christian conference several years ago. And this would be a Christian conference that had 17,000 people in attendance. And one of the questions that they asked, they sent out a poll to all 17,000 people that were in attendance. And one of the questions on the poll, just trying to get an idea of where a lot of these people stood on a lot of these issues, they asked this question, how much time do you spend in prayer? And I thought about asking you guys that tonight. I put it on your handout. Let you not even put your name on it, just write back to me, how much time do you spend in prayer? You could think about it right now. In a given day, 24-hour day, how much time do you spend in prayer? And out of 17,000 attendees at this large Christian conference, most people spent less than 5 minutes a day in prayer. And so they went on to ask 2,000 pastors that were in that conference, how much time does a pastor spend in prayer? And this is, if an average Christian spends less than 5 minutes in prayer a day, then a pastor would have to be above and beyond that, right? He would have to, if it's 5 for an average Christian, then a pastor should be, 15, 20. Well, the answer for the average pastor was less than 7 minutes a day. That's eye-opening for me. That's how, and as Christians, we're supposed to be praying, but it's obvious that we're not doing a whole lot of praying. And there were several excuses that were given, and I think it's probably worse now than it even was then, because that was years ago. But there were several excuses that were given, and maybe this is your excuse. Maybe you look at your life and say, I'd like to pray more, but this is in the way. And here's some of the excuses that were given at a Christian conference. Number one, they said they were too busy. There's just not enough time in a day for me to spend more than 5 minutes praying. And I think that's probably a lie, especially today, when all of us spend more than 5 minutes a day probably scrolling Facebook. If we can spend 5 minutes on Facebook, we can spend 5 minutes in prayer. But excuse number one, too busy. Excuse number two, I just don't feel like it. I only pray when I feel like it, and I don't always feel like it. I only feel like praying 5 minutes a day. And if you're only going to pray when you feel like it, you're not going to pray enough at all. Number three is that it doesn't work. I pray a lot and nothing ever comes of it. I never get any answers. Nothing ever changes. So it's kind of pointless to me if I do all kinds of time praying and I don't get any answers, then why should I spend any more time praying? He said, that wouldn't be my excuse, but it may be. If all of us thought that every prayer that we prayed would get answered, we'd pray a whole lot more. So we don't pray because we don't think we'll get the answer. Excuse number four, it's just too hard. I think one of the hardest things we do in the Christian life is pray. It's easy for me, I don't know about you guys, it's easy to get up and come to church. People tell me that all the time, it's hard to come to church. It's the easiest thing in the world to do. You get up, you get dressed, you go to church. It's not that hard, it's really not. Church isn't hard, reading a Bible, I don't think, maybe I like it, but I don't think it's that hard. Praying, for me, is hard. It's one of the hardest things that we do, and maybe you feel the same way. It's just hard. It takes a lot of work to pray. But the most popular excuse for the lack of prayer was, I just don't know how. How about that? I just don't know how. And that may be true for some of you tonight, that you just say, maybe those aren't my excuse. I don't use the too busy, I'm not using I don't feel like it, or it doesn't work, or it's too hard. But maybe I just don't know how to pray. Maybe I'm not very good at it. Maybe I need to be taught how to pray. Well, I've got good news for you here tonight. If that's your excuse, then I'm going to teach you how to pray. So we can take out all these, you can use all the other ones, but after we get done with this series, you better get rid of I don't know how, because I want to teach you how. And I think the greatest need of the church today is to learn how to pray. And that's what the disciples wanted. That's what they're asking for in verse 1. And that's what we'll be asking for over the next few weeks. Lord, teach us to pray. And we're asking this because it's absolutely foundational for our spiritual lives that we learn how to pray. Martin Luther said this, "As it is the business of tailors to make clothes and cobblers to mend shoes, it's the business of Christians to pray." So we need to learn to pray. So the title of the sermon tonight, as we get into it, and I'm not going to teach you tonight, I want to give you that desire tonight. I want to get that desire within you so that next week we can start learning how to pray. But tonight, I want to just get this prayer, Lord, teach us to pray. And I've got 2 points for you tonight. I want to show you, number one, our example in prayer, and number two, our request in prayer. So number one, I'm going to give you our example in prayer. Who is our grand example? Who is the one that we're going to learn from? Who's the master prayer? Who's the one that we can look at and say, now that guy knows how to pray. He's a master in praying. He is the example for us to look to. And we see there in verse 1, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 1 it says, and I like this, "And it came to pass, as He was praying in a certain place." So we see here at the very outset of verse 1 that Jesus is praying. And this word praying, and I don't know if you've ever looked it up or even thought about what the word praying means. And I wanted to get a definition of praying, so if there was a little child in here who's sitting there saying, I don't even know what the word pray means, I could give it to you. Here's what the definition in the Greek of what is praying. Praying at the most basic level is speaking to a deity. Is someone lowly like me talking to someone that is high and exalted. For us, it would be speaking to our God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. To us, it would be speaking to the Creator and the Sustainer of the universe. To us, it would be approaching the Maker of the cosmos. To us, it would be approaching the High and Holy One who dwells not here, but in heaven above. That's what prayer is. Us speaking to the Creator of the universe. Us having a conversation with, us relating to the God of the universe. That's what prayer is. And that's exactly what Jesus is doing here. The Son of God is talking to God the Father. This conversation is taking place. He's in a certain place, and God the Son is talking to God the Father. And that's a big deal. Because why would God the Son need to talk to God the Father? And the answer is, Jesus was truly man. And as a man, here's why he's praying. Number one, he desired to pray. He wanted to talk to his Father. Number two, he needed to pray. As truly man here on earth, he needed to pray. Number three, he's giving us an example of how we ought to pray. Because if the Son of God needs to pray and desires to pray, then wouldn't you believe that you and me, who are a whole lot lowlier than he is, we need to pray too. So now we have this perfect example before us of someone who knows how to pray. This was his pattern of life. This is not one moment in a single moment of time. Here's how Jesus prayed. And I want to give you a few things. Because Jesus prayed a lot. As our example, he's not just saying here, pray like this. And it's the only time they ever saw him pray. So if you've got your handouts there, I've got 5 sub-points for you. Just to tell you about how Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed, number one, consistently. This is something he did all the time. It was a pattern of his life. It's who he was. And I read a quote this week by a theologian who said, praying for a Christian is like breathing for a body. And it's something that you do. It's just what you do. It should be a part of your life. It should be like you don't even think about it. It just happens. Nobody wakes up in the morning and says, I need to breathe today. When we wake up in the morning, it shouldn't be, I need to pray today. It should be something that's automatic in us because it was in Jesus. He's consistently praying. We find Jesus when he began his ministry. Luke chapter 3, you don't have to turn there. But at his baptism, when we first see Jesus in his adult life, starting his ministry, he's praying. And then over and over, and I could take you to so many passages in the Gospel where it would say that Jesus would get away by himself to a mountain to pray. Mark 1 is one of those places where it says, before the day began, while it was still dark, Jesus went into a mountain to pray. He had a set time, and he spent considerable time in prayer. His life was a life of consistent prayer. That's our example, consistency. As an example, we ought to look to him and say, if he set aside time to pray, we ought to set aside time to pray. If he was consistent in prayer, we ought to be consistent in prayer. If he was daily praying, we ought to be daily praying. If he set aside time in the morning to pray, we ought to set aside time in the morning to pray. I don't know what your consistency will look like. It may be different than mine, but we need a consistent pattern, daily life of prayer. John Calvin said he had a consistent prayer life. Listen to this. This is a quote by John Calvin in his Institutes. He said, pray when you wake up. Pray before you begin your work. Pray before every meal. And pray is the last thing you do before you go to sleep at night. That is a consistent way of praying. That's just one way. Maybe, well, I don't know what yours is, but you need a consistent way of praying. Jesus prayed consistently. How about this one? Jesus prayed strategically. I'll give you some good words so I don't have to give away ice creams tonight. Because you got to spell it all right, too. I tell my boys that all the time. They'll say, Dad, I get my ice cream. Look, I got them all right. I'm like, you misspelled 2 or 3 things there. So I'm giving big words here. Jesus prayed strategically. At strategic moments in his life, he prayed more than others. You guys know that, right? You get that? But there's times that we pray every single day, just a normal, common day, where everything's going fine and there's no problems. And then there's sometimes that you up your prayer level to another height when something happens. So Jesus would pray more at certain times. Luke 6:12. Get this. I'll give you 2 examples. The night before he chose the 12 disciples, he prayed all night long. That's Luke 6. You can look it up. Prayed all night long before he made this big decision of choosing the 12 disciples. And then at the end of his life, and you can look this up, and it's in Luke. The last 6 hours of his life, and I just studied it. I just looked over it, read it. the last 6 hours of his life, which would be a big moment in his life, right? You're talking about he's ready to go to the cross and die for the sins of the world. This is a big moment. And what did he do in those last 6 hours more than anything else? He prayed. I wrote it down. He prayed in those last 6 hours that Peter's faith wouldn't fail. He prayed over the Last Supper. As the Last Supper ended, he prayed the high priestly prayer. John 17, one of the longest prayers that we have in the New Testament, and Jesus prayed that after the Last Supper. And then he went to the garden, and we know that he spent at least an hour out of those last 6 hours of his life praying. And then on the cross, as he's dying, his last words, it's a prayer. I mean, here he is at the hardest moment of his life, and he's throwing himself into prayer. There will be times in our life where we need to pray more. So he prayed strategically. Jesus prayed personally. I'm not going to go through everything that he prayed, but I like that it wasn't some general prayer for the, you know, I've asked my kids to pray before, and they'll pray for the whole entire world. You know, they'll say, bless all the missionaries, bless all the people around all the world, bless all of our church. And they're just throwing out there all these words, and that's fine, they're still learning to pray. But Jesus didn't just give general prayers. He prayed for Peter. He prayed for the disciples, and you can see this in the Gospels. He even prayed for his enemies. He even prayed for those on his cross. Lord, forgive them. They know not what they do. He prayed personal prayers. Jesus prayed humbly. You find him in the Scriptures praying, standing up. But you also find him bowed down on his face. There's times where Jesus fell on his face before his Father and prayed. Oswald Chambers says that the Son of God was on his face. What attitude should we as mere mortals assume when we go into the Father's presence? He prayed humbly. And the last one, and I don't know if you guys got this or not, because I'm not repeating it. Jesus prayed perfectly. Out of all the times he prayed throughout all the Gospels, you never find him one time confessing a single sin. This is one example that we cannot follow, because he didn't have a single sin to confess. So here is, and I'll move on to the second and last point, here is our perfect example of prayer. And I guess I will repeat it for you guys, for my kids. Jesus prayed consistently. That's our example. Jesus prayed strategically. That's our example. Jesus prayed personally and humbly and perfectly. And he's going to be our teacher. And he's going to show us how to speak to the Creator and the Sustainer of the universe. He is the teacher. He is our example. I'm not up here teaching you. He is teaching you. My prayers are feeble. His prayers are perfect. So we look to him on how we pray. So he is our example. We see that in the first half of verse 11. It came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, he's our example. Number two, not just our example in prayer, I want to show you our request in prayer. Because now it says in the next part of the verse that one of his disciples, I've already said that, and we don't know who it is, but he waited till he got done because he didn't want to interrupt Jesus. He's there, sees Jesus, maybe from a distance. We really don't know. Maybe Jesus is in a mountain. He knows he's up there praying. And Jesus is, he knows he's set some time away. And as Jesus comes back down, he knows he's praying. And he looks at him and he says this. Again, we don't know who, but we know it's one of the greatest requests that's ever been made. Because of this disciple's request, we get to learn how to pray tonight. I love John 14 when Thomas asked Jesus, we don't know the way. How can we get there? And because Thomas asked the question, doubting Thomas asked the question, we get the answer of I am the way, the truth, and the life. So I'm glad he asked that question. I'm glad the disciple asked that question, because now we get the answer. And the question that he asked, or the request that he has, is, Lord, you see that there, teach us to pray. Lord, instruct us on how to pray. That's what the word teach would be. Instruct us. It actually would be orally instruct us on prayer. Give us a sermon on prayer. Teach us how to pray. Give us a lesson on prayer. We need to know how to pray. We desire, above everything else, to pray like your pray. I like that a whole lot. They could have asked him anything in the world. There he is, coming down from a mountain, getting up from praying. We don't know what the circumstances was. But he could have easily looked at him as a disciple and said, teach me about the end times. Teach me about fasting. Teach me about giving. Teach me about loving enemies. Teach me about sin. Teach me anything he could have asked, anything he wanted. There it is. But the one thing that he asked is the one thing he desired most of all was, Lord, teach us how to pray. And that tells me, and I've already said it, but we need to get this, prayer doesn't come naturally. It needs to be taught. No one is a natural born prayer. It's not a spiritual gift. It's not for a select few. It's for every single one of us as believers, and we all must learn how to pray. Understand this. My kids are learning how to pray from me. We had, Isaiah did it to Hallie just the other day before dinner. We was getting ready to eat. Isaiah's the worst for stuffing in before the prayer comes. And I said, has anybody prayed? And Hallie said, I got it. Where'd you learn to do that? All right, I mean, that's what you. I mean, Sam will tell you. The kids will tell you. This is. I'm not making it up. We're sitting there around the table, and she does. And then she closes her eyes, and then she bows her head. And I'm sitting there thinking, where did she see that? And I'm thinking about prayer. How does she know that? That's not something she was born with. That's something she has been taught. We must be taught how to pray. So she does this. She closes her eyes. She bows her head. And now this little two-year-old is starting to talk to the Creator and Sustainer of the universe. Who taught her that? Our kids won't learn it naturally. They must learn it from us. So she does this, and she says, thank you for my church. She did, didn't she? And then she said, thank you for the food. Thank you for God. In Jesus' name, amen. And then she opened her eyes, and she said, I said God. Isaiah was sitting there. That's exactly how it went. And I'm saying, who taught her that? Who taught her to pray for her church? Who taught her to pray over the food? Who taught her to say, in Jesus' name? Who taught her all these things? She's learning from somebody. It's not something that she knew naturally. It's something that she had to be taught. It must be learned. And it can be learned if He teaches us. I think the problem in the church today is that we have a lot of people who have learned how to pray, but they've learned how to pray from the wrong people. They've listened to the wrong prayers. So this must become our desire. Is Lord, teach us to pray. I don't want Hallie to learn how to pray from her dad. I want to learn from Christ. And then Hallie can learn from me as I've learned from Christ. And if I'm learning from Christ, and I'm teaching Hallie from what I've learned from Christ, then Hallie's prayers will be right, and the next generation will be right. The problem is, we've been cut off from Christ, and we've not learned to pray how He prayed. So the disciple says, teach us to pray. So my question now is, as he's asking that, Lord, teach us to pray, and I underline that. Why is he asking that? Because the disciples were Jewish, and they had heard prayers their entire life. This wasn't the first prayer they'd ever heard. He wasn't the first person they'd ever heard pray. Their whole life was in praying. They knew prayers. They recited prayers. They learned from the people that they were around. I'm sure Peter had learned from his mom and dad, who learned from their mom and dad. And all these different prayers have been taught through the generations. No one heard more prayer than the disciples. No one prayed more than the disciples. So why are they looking to Jesus and saying, teach us to pray? They should know how to pray. The reason they're asking is they've never heard prayers like this before. This prayer that Jesus is praying is so different than what they were brought up learning. They've never heard anybody pray like Jesus prayed. They heard Him, they watched Him, they followed Him, and when they saw Jesus pray, and they heard what He said, it was so different than everything they'd ever heard. They began to say things like, I don't pray like that. My dad didn't pray like that. How about this one? That's not how the rabbis pray. That's not how the scribes pray. That's not how the Pharisees pray. And they realized in watching Jesus pray that they really didn't know how to pray. All that they've been taught throughout all their lives growing up from all the Pharisees, the scribes, and all the rabbis was all wrong. This guy's doing it right. We need to learn from him. We don't know what we're doing. They learned from what they heard. They learned from tradition. They prayed their whole life. And now, in this moment, watching Jesus pray, they say, we're clueless. We've been doing it wrong our whole life. And that's common. They didn't know how. Let me show you what they... And you say, I don't believe you. Watch this. Turn with me to Matthew 6, where we'll be spending a lot of time over the next few weeks. What kind of prayers were they hearing? The exact opposite of what Jesus was praying. What kind of prayers did they grow up hearing? The exact opposite of what Jesus is teaching them. If you look at Matthew 6 and verse 5, this is the type of prayers they heard growing up. This is the type of prayers they prayed. Jesus said in verse 5, and I'm not sure yet, but I may preach next Wednesday night on how not to pray before we get into how to pray. Because that's what Jesus does here. He corrects the way they've been praying before He shows them how He prays. Look at verse 5. He says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be. See that? He's telling them, don't be like that. Don't be like those you've been following. Don't be like those that you've been hearing growing up. And we need to make sure we hear this. This may be radical, but the way you've been taught growing up may not be right. And we need to make sure that we choose the way Jesus prayed over the way any papa or grandma prayed. Or preacher. He says here in verse 5, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. That's the prayers they learned. And Jesus isn't praying like a hypocrite. You know why? Look what they did. The hypocrites, they love praying standing in the synagogues. They love the corners of the streets. They love to be seen of men. Verily, I say, they have the reward, and we might study this next week. So I don't want to go deep into it. But these guys love to stand up and be seen and heard of everybody, and Jesus just come down from the mountain where He was by Himself praying. I need to learn to pray like that. Let's go down to verse 6. When thou prayest, enter into your closet, when thou shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Verse 7. But when you pray, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think they shall be heard of for their much speaking. See that? What they were doing was reciting prayers. Repeating prayers over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And Jesus is saying that's not how you approach the sustainer, the creator and sustainer of the universe. With the recited prayer that you just over and over repeat. That's not how you do it. They'd seen that done, and they watched Jesus, and they said, hey, that's not what He does. Teach us to pray like you, not like those Pharisees. It says, verse 8, be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask them. Then in verse 9, it says, so after this manner pray. And that's when He starts the Lord's Prayer. So that's what they'd heard. That's the way they prayed. And they saw in Jesus something totally different. But His wasn't phony prayers. His wasn't hypocritical prayers. His wasn't ceremonial prayers. His wasn't ritual prayers. His wasn't long, drawn out, repeated prayers. His prayers were real prayers, and they wanted to learn to pray like Him. And I'm afraid that many today don't have a clue how to pray because they've learned from somebody who didn't have a clue how to pray. I don't want to be mean, but it'll probably come off that way. Catholics don't have a clue how to pray. I listened to a Catholic pray. I was watching a movie the other day of a football team getting ready to go out and pray at Notre Dame. And the first thing they did was all get down on a knee. And they all started reciting, and you guys know this as well as I do, Hail Mary full of grace. And I thought, they've heard that their entire lives. Their mom and dad taught them that. Whose mom and dad taught them that? Whose mom and dad taught them that? And as soon as they drop a knee, all they know is Hail Mary full of grace. And that has nothing to do with the way Jesus taught anybody how to pray. They need to be taught how Jesus prayed. A lot of the charismatics today, and I don't want to be mean, but it may come across that way, who use a name it and claim it prayer. Where if I name something I want and claim something I want, then Jesus, and if I pray in Jesus' name, He has to give it to me. That's not what Jesus says here. A lot of Christians just don't know how to pray. Test it for me. Next time you need to pray about something, go on Facebook and type in, I need prayers for this. And go down through the comments. And this is going to sound mean. I don't mean it that way. But go down through the comments and read how people, and I'm fine with praying for you. But there's a lot of people on there who will put big, long prayers. And I read them. And I'm sitting there, and I shouldn't critique prayers. I said, don't critique prayers. But I'm critiquing prayers. Because it doesn't line up with what the Bible says about praying. There's a lot of people who are clueless about praying. And I don't think they know any better. Because they've not been taught any better. They're just praying what they've heard. They're praying what they've been taught. And they're just repeating a traditional prayer. So our request must be, their request must be, Lord, teach us to pray. I got one more phrase here, and I'll close. And I say, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples to pray. And I want to just take a minute or two on this. Why do they add, as John taught his disciples? As John the Baptist had taught his disciples. Because if you understand, John had his disciples. I don't want to get into this. And John was really the last prophet before Jesus came into the world. And he was in the line of the prophets of the Old Testament who knew how to pray. So John the Baptist knew how to pray. And he taught the disciples that he had in his circles how to pray right when all the scribes and the Pharisees were praying wrong. John was the last prophet to truly pray. And they knew John. That guy knows how to pray. His disciples know how to pray. So Jesus, will you teach us to pray the way He taught His followers to pray? What they're saying is, teach us to pray as it's been taught throughout Scripture. Teach us to pray the way God would have us to pray. Because there's not a new way to pray today that's different than it was then. There should be a long line of people who pray the same way. But the scribes and the Pharisees have lost it. I believe the church today has lost it. So we've got to go back to the way Jesus teaches to pray. So they say, Jesus, teach us like John taught his disciples. Do the same thing for us. Teach us to pray like you pray. How can we, the finite, talk to Him, the infinite? Show us how to pray. I'll close with this. So that we can guarantee it's right. Teach us to pray so that we can guarantee God hears us. Now, you don't want to pray and not know that God doesn't really hear you. Teach us to pray so that we know God will answer us. Teach us to pray so that we know God is moving. Teach us to pray so that we know when we pray, God changes things. Teach us to pray the way you pray. Because they knew in seeing Jesus pray that when He prayed, the Father heard Him. Jesus even said that, "You always hear me." They knew when Jesus prayed that He got answers. They knew when Jesus prayed that things happened. I mean, you remember when Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus and the first thing He did was pray? And then all of a sudden, Lazarus comes walking out. They're all sitting there thinking, wow, that's not what happens when we pray. We need to learn to pray like that. Things happen when Jesus prayed. Let's pray like Him. Why is there such weak, no answers to prayer? Because there's such weak prayers today. When He prays, God changes things. We need to pray like Him. So we need to tonight make that the desire of our heart. Lord, teach us to pray. And I guarantee you, He'll teach us. You say, Josh, how do you know that? Because the very next verse says, and He said unto them, when you pray, say, do it this way. He's going to teach us to pray. So we must learn. And I believe this will be the greatest lesson you will ever learn on prayer. But it has to start right here tonight. Right here in all of us. Where we say, Lord, teach us to pray like you pray. That's what we want. I don't want what I've always learned. If what I've always learned lines up with the way Jesus prays, then good, we'll do that. If what I've always learned doesn't line up with the way Jesus says, then we need to do away with what we've always learned. We've got to set aside these things today and say, if what I have is wrong, I want to do it right. Because there are many people that fight me on this. Oh no! Look, this is how Jesus teaches us to pray. And He puts it here twice. Matthew 6, Luke 11. Here's the pattern. We're going to learn the pattern. We're going to learn the outline. I'm going to give you an outline of how to pray. You don't have to get up every morning and pray it this way and quote it this way. But it's pray in this way. Do not pray every single word of this. So we'll learn an outline. We'll learn a pattern. We'll get the greatest lesson we've ever learned on prayer. And as we finish this, we'll be head and shoulders above where we were when we started. We'll be a better praying church at the end of this than we were when we started. I'll pray better at the end of this than I did at the beginning of this. I want you to pray better. I want all of you. There's going to come a time when you need to strategically pray and you need to know how to pray. And a lot of Christians don't know how to pray their way out of a trial. They don't know how to pray their way. I've said it. They don't know how to pray their way out of a paper bag. They get themselves in a situation and they don't have a clue how to pray. I want to teach you how to pray. Not me, Jesus. That's our example. That's our request. Lord, teach us to pray. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this passage. Thank you for this opportunity we get. This was not in my plans. I had a plan to do 2 Samuel starting tonight. I was going to just go verse by verse through 2 Samuel. I was just going to go right along the lines. We just finished 1 Samuel, do 2 Samuel. But I couldn't get away from prayer. God, I don't know. That was my desire, the desire of my heart. And I pray that it'll be good for me. I pray that it'll be good for us. I pray that we would all learn how to pray better over the next few weeks. Lord, teach us to pray. And we ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.